Thank you so much. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be with all you. I know many of you, it's just a privilege to be here, and I appreciate just all the work everyone did. It takes an army to be able to run a service. So thank you, Mr. Everwine, and thank you, Mrs. Kovlak, and everybody else who's been involved, Mr. Vince, and everybody that's just had a part in this morning. We're going to be in Isaiah, as we just read, along in God's word. And so you're going to see up there, it says, are your sacrifices in vain? I also have an alternative title, which I don't normally do with titles, but I also have it as the secret life of me. But before I begin, let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you that we get to be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just being able to be in a church on a Sunday. Lord, there are many places in the world this morning that don't have that privilege. They either have to meet in a house church, Lord, or maybe in somewhere private because the government, Lord, could basically arrest them if they find out they're publicly meeting. Lord, thank you that we get to live in a country where the Bible is preached freely, the Bible is preached openly. We can spread the gospel, and we can talk to people about you. Lord, thank you so much for that. Lord, and just please be with the service today and hide me behind your cross, Lord. Help me not to say anything that you would not want me to say, and help me not to hold anything back, Lord, at the same time. Lord, if there's somebody here, Lord, that's not saved, help them to receive you this morning. And Lord, for Christians, Lord, help us to hear your word and just to apply it in our lives, Lord. It's very easy, I know, even in my personal life, to know the word of God but not do it. Lord, help us to do the word of God. And Lord, just help us not to be like the people of Israel in the Old Testament, but help us to obey you and follow you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Isaiah was written approximately, I'm going to give a little rundown, 740 to 680 B.C. So Isaiah prophesied during the reign of several good kings. You had King Uzziah, King Hezekiah, and also later on you would have Manasseh, who was a terrible king. And on the outside, it looked like Israel was doing the right thing. How many of you have been there before where on the outside, maybe you went to church? On the outside, maybe it looked like you were reading your Bible and everybody thought you were good, but you knew on the inside of you, you were not good. So God was looking at Israel and God was seeing they're performing sacrifices. They're doing what they're supposed to do on the outside, but in the inside, their hearts were far away from God. They were robbing the widows, the oppressed. They were hurting the oppressed. They were hurting the fatherless. They were not honoring the year of Jubilee, which the Lamb was supposed to have a rest. And God saw their hearts, and God knew that despite the sacrifices, despite offering sheep and oxen and for the poor people, doves, they weren't right with God. And how often have we been in that spot where we look like we're doing the right thing, but in reality, our hearts are far away from God? So if I told you, I'm an NBA player, none of you would believe me, right? But say it's very easy for me to get a uniform that has my last name on my back that says McLeod. I could even get a custom Sixers jersey made. But it doesn't mean I'm a 76ers player. It means what you would see very quickly is I'm a slow 6'4" white guy who can't jump. Okay, if you saw me out on an NBA floor. It would be very easy for me to dress like a rich businessman, but people would soon find out that the suit was $200 and not $2,000. It's very easy to look the part. It's very easy to say you're something you're not. And a lot of times we can do that with our personal lives, or we act like something we're actually not. So are we playing church today? Are we playing religion? Are we playing religiosity where it seems like we're doing all the right things on the outside, but in the inside, our hearts are far away from God? There was a man, I was doing a study, and there was a man named Dennis Rader. And maybe some of you know who he is. Not a very good guy, if you know who he is. And he was born into a home where his parents were devout Lutherans. So he grew up going to church. He ended up entering the military, had an honorable discharge. And this is during the Vietnam War era, so some people did not have that, and he had several good conduct medals. When he left the military, he achieved the rank of staff sergeant. So he rose up in the ranks of the military, and he was doing pretty well for himself. He soon afterwards attended and earned a bachelor's in electronic engineering and later administration of justice. And you're going to find out about him in a few seconds that it was the opposite of administration of justice in his life. In fact, he was an elder at Christ Church in Wichita, Kansas, and he was a respected member in his community. What his community did not know is between 1974 and 1991, he was a serial killer. So he looked the part. He looked like he was had it all together. He looked like, I don't know, Mr. Church, Mr. Someone that people would look up to and admire. And he ended up being a terrible, terrible person. And that's an extreme. I don't think anyone in this room is a serial killer, or I hope not. But at the end of the day, I think you all understand the point I'm trying to get across. He played somebody who he wasn't. And are we playing someone today who we're not? Sure, I know you're here today. I'm here. Sure, I know that we have our Bibles on us and we look good because we're at church. But if we were to transport into your house in the middle of a week after a long day at work, what would it look like? If we were to go and if we were able to go in some sort of capsule and just travel to where you were alone with God, would it exist? And it can be convicting, right? We can have sin in our lives, and God doesn't care about the outward show or outward performance that we have. God cares about our hearts. And let's look at Isaiah 1:11. It says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Was the issue here that God didn't want them to sacrifice? Yes or no? I'd say no, that wasn't the issue. The issue was the motive behind why they were doing it. Okay, it's not God wanted them to perform sacrifices. That's in Leviticus. But God wanted them to do it with the right heart. How many of us have made promises to God or maybe said, God, we quote unquote confessed our sin in prayer, but we knew in reality we didn't really have really strongly try turning away from that sin. God knows our hearts, and God examines our hearts, and God knew the heart of Israel. Is it wrong for us to pray? Absolutely not. God wants us to pray. But what are the motives behind our prayers? Are we doing it as a ritual? Are we doing it as out of vain repetition? Are we doing it because we want a certain outcome? Are we doing it because, I don't know, you can go on and on with reasons as to why. God cares about our obedience so much more than just an outward show of spirituality. A very famous verse I think of is in 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God told Saul, I don't care that you had this great master idea that you were going to offer these sheep like as a sacrifice. I don't care that you kept the king, because that's not what I told you to do. What I told you to do is I wanted you to kill everything. And you didn't obey me, and I can't honor you. And Samuel told him, God doesn't care about your great plans, your great ideas. God cares about your obedience. God cares about obedience rather than our sacrifice. So sometimes we can get into the Martha syndrome, where all we do is, if you're someone who serves in church, praise the Lord, and I encourage everyone to serve, because you're not going to ever have fulfillment or contentment in your Christian life without serving. But at the same time, sometimes our service trumps our actual work, our actual walk with God. And we have to be careful. God cares so much more about our obedience and about our walk with Him. And just like with Saul, He cared more that Saul obeyed God rather than Saul did this great spectacle and had this great sacrifice. Earlier in the Bible, okay, let's think about this. What was the second recorded sin? Okay, you could say blame. I'm talking about really not Adam and Eve, the next story on, right? It's Cain and Abel. And it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was that sacrifice? God said, I want a blood sacrifice. And Cain had his own ideas, and he brought of the fruit of the ground, and God denied it. God cares about our obedience. He doesn't care about our great ideas. He doesn't care about us going to church and looking the part. He does care about us going to church, don't get me wrong, but He cares more about our personal lives. So how are our personal lives? Are we right with God today? If God tells us to do something through His Spirit or through His Word, Are we obeying His unction? Is what we are doing to grow closer to God for us and our personal benefit? Or is it so that we genuinely, or is it because we genuinely love God? Have you ever known people that come to church because they want the benefits of church? Anybody been there? Like, if you've been to church for any sort of length of time, and I hope nobody in here is like that, like, I want to get something out of church. But our goal is to get something and be a blessing to the church as well. And there are a lot of people that come and they think, if I do this thing, God's going to be my genie and grant my wish. There's a person I know, and I'm not going to say names or anything because I would never want anyone in this, no one in this room would know who it was. But this person would come to church because he wanted God to bless him with a girlfriend. Okay? And that's why he would go to church. And I told this individual, I said, God knows your desire, like God knows your desires. Like God's not a genie. Like that's not how God works. God wants you. He doesn't want you to just have this public display just because, God's going to give me what I want because I'm going to church. God cares about our hearts. He cares more about our obedience than our outward show of spirituality. So how are we doing there this morning? Point number two, God cares more about our private devotion than our public assembly. And I want to preface this by saying, once again, God wants you to be in church. That's a command by God according to Hebrews 10:25. However, it's easy to play church and to look good while being at church when in reality, your heart's not in it. How many of you have been to church and had your mind wander? I'm there, okay? I am totally there. Maybe it's during football season and you know there's a big Eagles game coming on later. Come on, you know what I'm saying, okay? Like, I feel like right now, like, we're not all angels in this room. Like, I've been there and I've been like, huh, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and I have Sunday evening service. Man, they're in the Super Bowl right now. I wonder what the score is. Like, that's human, I feel like. But at the end of the day, are we here more because we love God, or we're just here to feel good about ourselves? Because I feel like, what's the difference with Catholics, like, and false religions than us? Okay, like, and people who have the truth. A lot of it is when in these religions where you have to work your way to heaven, it's about feeling good about yourself. That's really what it's all about. It's like, man, I did this, I did that, I performed the sacraments, I worked, I gave to the poor. And it's all about making yourself feel good and that you're worthy when the Bible tells us the complete opposite. We're not. And so are we just going to church to feel good about ourselves? God cares more about our private devotion than public assembly. Let's look at Isaiah 1:13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, by the way, these were all feast days, and you can study that later. The calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Many of the priests, even at this time, were not right with God. You're going to see after, so I mentioned that Isaiah was basically a prophet during the time of Uzziah, who was a good king, by the way, and Hezekiah, who was also a good king. The next king, Manasseh, was the worst king in Israel or Judah's history. And you could say Ahab was. My personal opinion was it's Manasseh. But, and Ahab obviously was a ruler in a different part of, he was the ruler of Israel, not of Judah. But anyway, going back to the message, Isaiah, basically God was saying, I don't care about these things you're offering me. I know your hearts. And their hearts would be exposed later on under the reign of Manasseh, because God judged the people based off of Manasseh's sin later on. He's basically, even during the reign of Josiah, who was a good king, he said, you did so much evil under Manasseh, I can't turn back the punishment. I can't. You have to be judged or punished for what you've done. And it started with the people, right? Further back during the reigns of these good kings. So God cares more, though, about our private devotion than public assembly. Are we reading our Bibles every single morning? And not just reading them, getting something out of it. Like, we've all probably been there where you're like, it's white noise. How many of you sleep with like a noise machine at night? Anybody in this room? I'm there. I can't sleep without some sort of noise on. It can't be the TV. I'm not one of those people. But it has to be white noise or some sort of noise machine. And a lot of times what we do is we'll wake up in the morning. I know myself, and you'll read the Bible, and sometimes the Bible's like white noise. It's like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And you're just reading. And it's like you're reading, but you're not really absorbing anything. We've all been there. And how's your walk with God? How's your private time with God? Is it a lot of, oh, I'm reading my Bible? Are you actually like reading it and getting something out of it? So we in school, we probably all had book reports we had to do. And you know you were skim reading some of those book reports, unless you were a very avid reader. Okay, as a kid, I was a kid who wanted to be outside. That was me. I wanted to run around outside, play sports. When I would get punished, I would be made to read. Okay, so that would be like, I have a punishment, go inside and read a classic. So I know classics, but there would be times where you're reading and you're like, you're just going through it. And sometimes the Bible can be like that. We have to make sure that we're right with God. So first point was, God cares about our obedience more than our outward show of spirituality. Two, God cares more about our private devotion than our public assembly. And three, God cares more about our hearts than our vain prayers. Let's look at Isaiah 1:15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So the same hands that were lifted up in prayer to the Lord were the same hands that were guilty of robbing people. They were the same hands that were guilty of not helping the fatherless like they were supposed to. And God looked down from heaven and God said, I can't bless that. I literally cannot bless that, because those same people, these priests even, that are coming before the people, they're guilty of sin in their own hearts. And the people are guilty of sin, and I can't change it. I can't bless that. So God said, I'm tired of your vain prayers. And we've probably all heard of vain repetition, probably as children and sometimes as adults. We've prayed prayers over and over again, and I think they start as well-meaning, and then eventually what can happen is it just becomes rote, right, where you pray a lot of the same things. And case in point, food. Like, how many of us have ever said, Dear Father, thank you for this food, in Jesus' name, amen, without thinking about it? A lot of times, especially Thanksgiving, right, when you actually want to eat, you're like, man, there's good food here. Hopefully not, at least. But that being said, make sure your hearts are right. It's easy as somebody that's in a church to, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to pray some fancy prayer, but to, when you're praying in front of a church, you need to make sure you mean it with your heart, what you're praying. And God sees it. God sees whether we're being truthful and honest or whether we're being a fake. So praying for your food is great. But how many of you have been guilty? I already said that, of praying vain thank you prayers for your food. Think about it next time. That's just a short side note. Think about how blessed we are in America to have unlimited food. Okay, it's a blessing. I hate saying this. It's a blessing that obesity is a problem. That just means we can have as much food as we want. That really does. But praise the Lord for that. In other places around the world, their problem is starvation. So, like, if we were to go in the middle of Chad, okay, their people aren't having as much food as they want. Really thank God for that, because that's something until modern history, really, that no one really had. In many parts of the world today, they're living on rice and beans, right? And we get to have what we want, even with expensive beef prices. I know how expensive food is nowadays, but we still have plenty of food. And praise the Lord for that. So remember the Pharisees in the New Testament who prayed long public prayers? Anybody remember that, right? Where there was the Pharisees were praying about how great they were and how awesome they were. And Jesus talked about it and he said, basically, it sickens me. These people, they think they have it all together. They think they have all the answers, but their heart is full of pride. They're full of rebellion. They're full of jealousy. They're full of hatred. They're full of envy. And then on the other hand, there was a publican, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he smote his chest. And Jesus said, basically, that person's forgiven. He meant it. And we can sometimes get into this mindset of, I'm holier than thou. Where, oh, I'm better than everyone else. And we might not say it, but we might think it in the back of our minds. And we have to make sure that we're being legit when we pray, that we realize who we truly are and what God saved us from. Every single one of us in this room, we deserve to die and go to hell. And you've probably heard that a million times, but don't get over that. We deserve to die and go to hell. And we're no better. Just because I got saved as a little boy when I was 7 years old doesn't mean that I'm any better than somebody out there, maybe who's a drug addict on a street, who maybe had less opportunities than I had. I was raised in church hearing the truth, and a lot of other people are not. A lot of those people that maybe aren't doing too well that we might look down on at times, a lot of those people probably weren't raised with the same, some of you in this room probably weren't raised with the same amount of truth that I was growing up. But a lot of us now, we all have the truth. Let's not get cocky in the truth, but let's be humble because of the truth and realize who we truly are. And as you pray, have compassion for people. The Pharisees had zero. All they cared about was themselves. And let's have compassion and pray for people, because ultimately we're gonna want the same prayer one day, right? When we're going through a problem or a circumstance, God cares more about our hearts than our vain prayers. And then we're gonna point four. God cares more about how we treat others rather than what we say. This is really convicting, and this is a point I'm gonna stick on for a little bit. I promise I'm not gonna go 2 hours on this point. Says every preacher in the world. But it's not going to be a super long point. But we're going to stay here a little bit. Isaiah 1:15-17. And when ye spread forth your hands, I read this already, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. That's a decision. Cease to do evil. Every single one of us in this room have besetting sins that we struggle with. Okay? As long as we are in the flesh, you're not going to attain perfection. There are some Christians that will go around saying, I believe in sinless perfection. I don't at all, because I know my flesh and I know your flesh. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. If the Apostle Paul was never perfect, right, without sin, after he got saved, I'm definitely not better than the Apostle Paul. And we have to make sure that our hearts are right with God. And God cares more about how we treat others rather than what we say. Do we have a heart, inside our hearts, is there any like ill will towards someone else? Do you have any resentment in your life toward another individual? Maybe it's someone that hurt you. It could be they hurt you sexually. It could be they hurt you by the words that they said and you can't forget it. It could be they hurt you financially. It could be they hurt you, physically. Are you willing to forgive them? Because God forgave us. And we can go around saying that we care about others, but the biggest way that we can care about other people is by forgiving them. Jesus forgave us. So the greatest way we can be like Jesus this morning is by forgiving other people that wronged us. And a lot of people in today's day and age, they say, they blame everything on the Jews. Our sin put Jesus on the cross. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. And Jesus decided to forgive you of your impure thoughts, of your lying, of your lust, of your stealing, of your cheating. I could go on and on, or whatever we've all done in this room. Jesus forgave us. And who are we to say that we're better than somebody else because they committed a sin and maybe they haven't had as many opportunities as we have to receive the gospel? God cares about how we treat others rather than what we say. How are we treating the lost today? If you really cared about people out in the world, you would share Jesus with them. I forget who it was, but there was some atheist who said, basically, I see all these Christians and they don't share the gospel. And if they don't share the gospel, they don't really mean what they say or what they've been being taught. Because if we truly believed, we would share with everybody, right? Hell is a real place and people are dying this second as I speak, going to hell. That's just the truth. Are we sharing the gospel with other people? We can say we care about other people. We can say, people need to get saved. But are we doing our part? Are you going out and sharing the gospel? When's the last time you led someone to the Lord? When is the last time you led someone to the Lord? And I'm speaking to myself too. When's the last time you handed out a gospel tract? That's not hard. I mean, anyone can do that. I mean, you don't have to be eloquent or speak well to be able to hand out a tract. That's just determination and deciding I'm going to do it. When's the last time maybe there was some sort of conversation and you tried leading it into a biblical topic, into a topic regarding salvation? I know I need to do a better job. It happens while I landscape a lot. And sometimes I do a good job. Sometimes I don't. where there's conversations that can lead in that direction. How are we doing today? Because the biggest way we can hate somebody is by not sharing the gospel with them when we know they're unsaved. Or we don't know if they're saved or not. How are we doing? We can say we care about God and we love God, but God cares more about how we treat others. First of all, the lost. Secondly, God cares about how we treat our family. You can say you love your family all you want, but how do you treat them when you get home from work? Man, that one hit. That one hit good. How do you treat them when you get home from work? When you're tired, when you're frustrated, when you have family or company coming over and there's stress, how do you treat people when you're under stress? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, probably not as good as we would as if we weren't under stress, right? Or if we weren't tired. We can make excuses all we want for ourselves. We can say, I'm tired. I worked 60 hours a week this week. I was doing this, I was doing that, and that's why I lashed out. I'm sorry for lashing out, but I'm tired. And we make excuses for ourselves. And you could say you love your family all you want too. How was your car ride this morning? I've been in those car rides before. Like, I feel like people are looking at me like I'm terrible. Like, how many of you have been there before? Where it was a little bit of a tumultuous car ride. It was not a smooth car ride. And you get out and the whole outside world thinks, man, like Mr. Everwine said, isn't he such an angel? I remember people saying that to me as a kid and I thought, man, you really don't know. I know I'm not perfect for sure. And you don't know what happened in the car ride. You don't know. I'm getting spanked when I get home, right? When I'm a kid, I'm not being good right now. But how do we treat other people? Because that's the true test for how much we love God. If we love God, we'll love people. My dad basically says, if our relationship with God is right, our upward is right, then our outward will be right, right? Our relationship with others, our relationship with our family members. And Israel, they didn't care about the people around them. They didn't care, like I said, about the widows. They didn't care about the fatherless. They didn't even, ultimately, they were performing sacrifices. They didn't care about keeping other things. They didn't care about keeping the year of Jubilee. They would get punished for that. And they would be in bondage for 70 years. They didn't care about a lot of things. They didn't let the land rest. So how are we doing? We can say all we want. I love God. How are we treating our family? How are we treating coworkers that get under our skin? I mean, I've been there. Some coworkers talk too much. Am I the only one who like experiences this? It like sometimes your coworker talks too much. Sometimes, maybe we have someone in here that's a boss. Sometimes I have to do that with my landscaping business. Sometimes we get frustrated because people don't do as good of a job as you would like. Okay, like you have to go behind somebody and clean up their work, and that's frustrating. Okay, I had a little rant yesterday because I was annoyed. I'm like, I have four jobs today and somebody didn't do their job that's working for me. And now I have to go behind them and clean it all up when I don't have time. Like, and I was ranting a little bit, honestly. So how are we treating other people? How are we like, are we treating them with the love that we would like to be shown if we made a mistake? Because maybe you've been on the road and somebody honked at you and you thought, man, I hope. Like, or those cars that will speed up just to get off on the exit, right? They'll pass you, ride on your tail, and then they'll move over a lane when the exit is like a quarter of a mile away. We've all been there, and you're like annoying. You're like, man, I hope maybe they don't get in an accident, but I hope they get pulled over. Maybe we make mistakes. Are we giving people the golden rule? Are we wanting to do to others as we would have them do unto us, right? So how are we doing? How are we treating, I have this down, how are we treating the poor, the homeless, the fatherless, and the widow who has no one? Something that you could do, maybe you know somebody who doesn't have anyone else in their life, reach out to them. I know this winter, I tried being a good example of this, and I shoveled some people out of their driveways this winter because I was thinking to myself, man, I'm having a hard time doing this at 27, my back is breaking. How is a 70-year-old going to do this that doesn't have kids nearby? Okay. If you have kids nearby, then I'm thinking they have somebody, but there's people that don't. How are you treating them? And I'm not always perfect in that way, but, I try my best. Are we treating people like we would like to be treated? One day, for those of us, who are on the younger side, so that's probably four or five of us in here. Okay, everyone's young in here, by the way, so disregard it. Yeah, age is just a number. Age is relative, right? It's what your mind wants it to be. But one day, I'm going to be old, and I'm going to want somebody to shovel me out. So I'd hope by doing it as a young person that one day I'm going to be treated the same way. So how are we doing? Do you have blood on your hands just like the Israelites did in this passage? Are you, like, there's so much today, like, kind of thinking a little bit. I'm into politics. And what I'd say in our country has become increasingly more and more immoral, even from people who believe in capitalism. Because there's a lot of extortion that goes on in business and big businesses in our country. Just the truth. And that's regardless of political party. And we should never do that, though, as Christians. If you own a business, treat people right. Treat people how you would like to be treated. If you're working for somebody, don't try getting the most out of it for as little work as you can possibly do. People want to make as much money as they possibly can and do the bare minimum. Do your very best, and God will bring promotion if you do it. So how are you doing today? So just remember, by the way, you're one terrible life event away from having everything stripped from you. So somebody, you might not need help right now, but you might need help later from people. How are you treating people now? Are you treating them like God, how God loves them, how much God loves them? And are you treating them how you would like to be treated? Point five, and this is my last one. God ultimately cares about our repentance over our sacrifice. Let's go down to Isaiah 1. So my alternative title is The Secret Life of Me. So let's be thinking about how we can change in our own lives. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Okay, and I'm so glad that one day all these wrongs are going to be made right. All the crooked paths are going to be made straight. And God is going to be the perfect judge. We have a lot of injustice in our world today. We have a lot of hate. We have a lot of greed. We have a lot of anger. We have a lot of just extortion. But one day, God is going to make all these things right in heaven and then in the millennial reign. And I praise the Lord for that. But learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow, the people that can't repay you back or give anything back. That's how we judge ourselves. If we can't benefit from somebody, but we help them, that's the ultimate way we can be like Christ. Because there's nothing in it for us. There's nothing in it for me. They're not going to give me, $150 for, I don't know, for such and such a task. You do it because you love God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know what I love about God? God is perfect in justice and mercy. So God, there's never going to be anything that God won't judge. But at the same time, God always allows a way out. And God right here in this passage said, Israel, it's not too late. You can get right with me. You can clean up your ways. You can start doing right again. And obey me in all these things I've just warned you about. And I will fix the problem. God, I'm glad God doesn't look down on us and say, Jeff, you've sinned for the 15th time today, so I'm not forgiving you anymore. I'm so glad about that. I'm glad he doesn't say, Jeff, you've sinned for the 15,000th and 5th time in your life. I'm not forgiving you anymore. Praise the Lord that God always offers this throughout his word. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What's dirty, God can make clean. What is broken, God can make whole. What is crooked, God can make straight. And maybe you've struggled. I think with this message, there's something that we all could take away from it, because none of us are ever perfect. And maybe right now you're doing pretty good, and you'd say, my life is pretty good. I think I have a good relationship with God. I'm getting a lot out of His Word. I'm clean. I'm doing everything I can to help other people out. Continue. And because it's very easy to fall away from that and start. And a lot of times the mountaintop experiences in our lives, if we're not careful, those same experiences will cause us to fall. Right? Think about David. David had rest all around his kingdom pretty much. I mean, there were some wars, but it was during that time where he sinned with Bathsheba. It was during a time of peace where David decided, I'm going to number my men and see how many men are in my army and how big my army is. And he humbled him. King Nebuchadnezzar, look at what I've built. And God humbles him and makes him like an animal. All throughout the Bible, it's a lot of times where people reach these peaks, these pinnacles, and then the next moment, they're brought low because they stop relying on God. And if you're in one of those moments where you're like, man, my spiritual life is great right now, I'm living for God, I'm doing the best I can, then don't get cocky in it. And don't become like the Pharisees, like we talked about earlier, where that pride creeps in. And you think you're doing good, but you have pride in your life, and you're really not doing good because it's like almost counterintuitive. You think you're doing good, and because you're thinking you're doing good, you're actually not doing good. Anybody follow that? I remember in fifth grade, my teacher would preach it, or my Bible class teacher in school would talk about humility. And I would think, man, I don't struggle with that at all. I'm the most humble person. And then it occurred to me in seventh grade, I said, wait a second. I'm like, because I think I'm the most humble person, I'm not humble at all. And that just occurred to me. So don't all of a sudden think you have it all together, because if you think you have it all together, chances are you don't have it all together. You probably have a lot more problems than you think you have. So make sure you get your life right. And maybe today you've struggled with things I've mentioned. And I know I've been guilty of just playing a Christian, dressing nice, looking nice, having my Bible out, even reading my Bible. And I know my life isn't right. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there's been times in my life where it's been like that. And the great thing is we're as close to God today as we want to be, and we can get back to Him. If your sacrifice has been all a show, get it right today. Okay, don't just play church. When we're judged before God, God's not going to say, how many times did you go to church? It's going to be important to Him that you went to church, but He's not going to say, how many times did you go to church? He's going to care about what did you get out of it, right? What did you get out of church? What did you get out of reading your Bible? How did you apply it? And once you applied it, how did it impact other people around you? Did you show more love and kindness to your family members and friends? Did you share the gospel with more people? Did you treat people like you would want to be treated yourself? That's what God's going to look at. And what did you do for me is the other thing He's going to look at. So lastly, if your life has been a facade, you can repent and get back on the right track, just like God gave Israel that option. So at this time, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. And dear Father, Lord, thank you for what we were able to learn from your word this morning. Lord, just thank you for the Isaiah chapter 1, what you gave me, Lord. You gave this to me several months ago. And anyway, this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd like to ask a couple questions. The first question is the most important question. I believe the message that I preached today was mainly to believers, but you can take something away also as an unbeliever. It's very easy to act like you're saved. It's very easy to come to church, play the part, dress the part, know the answers inside your head about Bible stories, but not be saved. During the First Great Awakening, many people were saved that had gone to church their entire lives, but had ignored or rejected the truth or thought they were good. Maybe there's somebody like that today, this morning, or maybe somebody that's not here and you'd say, man, my life is out of filter. I'm playing a Christian and I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. And I've been doing it for a long time and I'm sick of it. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or you're old. We have to answer to God one day where we're going to spend eternity. And you'd say, Pastor Jeff, I don't know today if I'm saved. And just by raising your hand, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'll just pray for you. Just by raising your hand, you'd say, man, I'm not saved. And I'm willing to admit that. And you raise your hand and just say, man, I'm willing to admit that. And I'll pray for you. Now, I'm not embarrass you. I promise. It's not what I'm here for. And maybe those of us who are saved, the next question is, how are we doing? Are we treating people with the same love and respect that we would like to be shown ourselves? Are we praying vain prayers that don't get through the ceiling and God looks down and says, it's just a show, it's just religiosity? Maybe are we maybe looking the part, dressing the part, and we're going to church. We are doing what we should be doing on paper, but in reality our hearts are away from God. Maybe we're doing pretty good right now, and as far as we know, there's no sin in our lives, big sin. in our lives that we've not gotten right. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's something else that I mentioned in the sermon. You'd say, Pastor Jeff, the Lord spoke to me about some area in my life, and he spoke to me. And I, as a testimony of that, I'm willing to raise my hand that the Lord spoke to me in an area. I know my hand would go up. Both of my hands would go up. The Lord spoke to my heart in an area, and you're willing to raise your hand and say, man, God spoke to my heart this morning, and I'm willing to testify that God spoke to me. You can put your hands back down. And Lord, just Lord, please be with us. Help our hearts to be right with you, Lord. I don't know what area, Lord, you spoke to people about. Hopefully you did. If you didn't, Lord, that's a bad sign. That's a danger sign. Lord, help us to just love you with all our hearts, all our souls, Lord, in all our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.